Chicago, humidity 85% at 10:45. Wrigley's Spearmint Gum presents The Howard Miller Show. Now, here he is with music on records, Howard Miller.
Thank you very much, Joe Foss. Hi, everyone, from, I should like to say sun-kissed Chicago, but I gotta be honest with you, it's raining and drizzling and snowing and everything else in the Middle West. I presume, though, that you're sort of happy and content wherever you are. A couple of minutes ago, we talked to Dick Hames, one of America's outstanding young vocalists, who was sitting and waiting to talk to us at Alan Dick's restaurant. And a few minutes ago, George Gottfried, a very good friend of mine from the west coast of California, just came in and brought some of the ray of sunshine from out there. So it looks like we are going to be geographical gymnasts today because we're going to travel all over the country. Now, we're going to listen to a phonograph record, and then we're going to talk to Dick Hames, and then Dick's going to tell you about this swell new record that he just made for the Capital People called C'est La Vie. But before we go east to meet Dick Hames, let's listen to Ivory Joe Hunter with some real blues called Empty Arms. That's the blues of Ivory Joe Hunter in his new Atlantic record, a thing called Empty Arms, which is not only performed by Ivory Joe, but also, of course, is of his own writing and creative ability. Now, before we go to New York and visit with a good friend of ours and one of your favorite vocalists, Dick Hames, let me just make a suggestion that regardless of weather, you sort of keep mouth happy and keep generally happy all over by enjoying Wrigley's Spearmint Chewing Gum. Will you do that for yourself? Of course, you'll be doing it for us, too. But more importantly, you'll be getting all the downright good, doggone good refreshment that there is whenever you chew Wrigley's Spearmint. And when you do, of course, you know that you're really adding to your cosmetic beauty because Wrigley's Spearmint, the chewing action of chewing gum, will keep your teeth clean and attractive. Always keep your mouth fresh and your breath sweet. So enjoy Wrigley Spearmint as we all do, and you'll sort of stay happy and on the relaxed side of life, too. Let's go east now to Alan Dick's restaurant in New York City. We're waiting to talk to you and to all of our nation Here is Dick Hames, prominent vocalist with the Capital People and a gentleman who has made quite a name for himself in show business. Hi, Dick. How are you?
Hi, Howard. I'm fine, thank you.
Real nice talking to you. You've done a few spectacular things since you were here last at the Shea Prix, and we appeared together on television.
Yes,
most notably, that wonderful spectacular that you did for Producer Showcase.
Yeah, that was a lot of fun because we had a lot of time to rehearse and we had some wonderful people in it.
You know, Dick, I was saying to some of your Capital boys who were here in the studio that I felt that this land of mine, which you did so wonderfully well in that show, should have been a hit. Why do you feel that it wasn't?
Well, actually, I think it still could be a hit. I never recorded it, Howard.
Uh-huh. Have you ever thought that you would like to? Do you feel that the song has merit?
Oh, definitely. Uh-huh. Definitely. It's got a very... great message that it says, and also it's quite dramatic.
Yes.
As a matter of fact, everybody was on my back to record it while I was out there, but I was strictly thinking of an hour and a half on television in color, and I didn't pay as much attention to it as I should have.
To the recording at that particular moment.
That's right.
Well, now, you did that out in California, didn't you, Dick?
Yes.
Now, of course, you're in New York. Are you working in a club there?
No, Howard, I live here. I have a little apartment here in New York, and I love it. Of course, we're having the same kind of weather you're having.
Yes. I had always presumed that you considered more California your home than New York, Dick.
Well, I did for a long, long time. And then, of course, I became very interested in the media of television. And, of course, I still believe that the hub, or where the deals are made, are in the East.
Yes, this is still the mecca of show business, and all of us in show business must face the East, regardless of where we live.
Yeah, leave us all face the East.
And sort of a deep bow of recognition. Why do you suppose that is, Dick? Why does New York always remain the show center of these United States?
Well,
is it because that's where the money interests of advertisers are?
Exactly. I was going to say most of your big advertisers, and after all, they are the sponsors of the whole media of radio and television, seem to be situated in New York.
And as long as they so situate themselves, that's where the artists are going to finally have to gravitate.
That's right.
Dick, you have done so many things in show business with motion pictures and theater, television and radio. I'm sure that it becomes an obvious question that there must be one of these facets of show business that gives you the greatest challenge. Which is it?
Well, from a challenge standpoint, certainly an hour and a half live dramatic show on television is a tremendous challenge, because if you think of the theater, you have at least 6 weeks rehearsal, and then you have a break-in period out of town before you open in New York.
Mm-hmm.
But, for example, on Producer's Showcase, we did an hour-and-a-half show, and I think we had 3 weeks all told of rehearsal, and we had 4 days with camera and 2 days with orchestra.
Yes.
And then, of course, it was opening night all over the country.
That's right, opening night all over the country, and then over in just a couple of hours later, 90 minutes later.
That's right. So
how does this media then compare with motion pictures, actually? You don't have, of course, you do shorter scenes in motion pictures, but you don't have too much rehearsal doing those scenes either.
No, but you have the advantage of when you clobber, of somebody saying cut and having the opportunity of doing it over again.
Yeah.
Actually, in the final analysis, I suppose one can get better quality on film.
Yes. Well, you throw that hunk of celluloid out if it isn't absolutely letter perfect,
that's
and you start
correct.
All over again, and it's only the loss of a little of the celluloid.
That's right, and it's the same as recording.
You know, there's been a great new enthusiasm for you at the record level, Dick. I don't know why there should have ever been a failure to have kept this enthusiasm up to a point, other than the fact that you were spread pretty thin over all the medias. But Capital now seems to feel, on the strength apparently of your Rain or Shine album and your past successes, that this new record of yours is likely to be a big hit for them, C'est La Vie.
Well, I sure hope so.
Is this material that you selected, or was it assigned to you?
Well, it was a sort of a combination. I was with one of the Capital executives on the coast. I'm sure you know Lee Gillette.
Yes, of course.
And we ran through a whole batch of things, and I liked C'est La Vie, and he said, well, you know, about a year ago that this was tried, and I said, well, what difference does that make? Maybe we can get a little different treatment. And I've always been an ardent admirer of Billy Mays, and I've always wished to work with him.
He does great arrangements.
Oh, he's fabulous. He's one of our
greats. Dick, what is it that you look for in a score of music that you say, all right, now this is for me, this type of song is for me? What are the elements of the song that you look for?
Well, I have to believe it, lyric-wise,
uh-huh.
And whether it be a rhythm song or not, I have to believe what I'm saying, and musically, as long as it's musical, then it's fine with me.
So if the lyric has an inspiration, or if it does tell a good story, a sincere story, then you like it.
Well, yeah, well, you know, I'll give you the best example. I'm an old Larry Hart man, so...
Yeah, well, that's the answer. Well, of course, yeah. Little White Lies, which I suppose will remain as one of the four or five bestsellers of all times, was your big hit. And that, of course, is why I like This Land of Mine so very much for you. And I think that the way it expresses a philosophy of the earth, this could have been a very big song for you. However, well, that's water over the dam, I guess, isn't it?
Not necessarily. Maybe we'll take a shot at it.
I wish you would. I certainly wish you would. In the meantime, let's content ourselves with this new hit that you have for Capitol. Here is Dick Hames, and I know you're going to like it. It's called C'est la vie. It's life.
John's in love with Joan. Joan's in love with Jim. Jim's in love with someone who's not in love with him. What was meant to be must be. C'est la vie, c'est la vie, c'est la vie. Life's a funny thing when it comes to love. You don't always conquer the one you're dreaming of. As they say in old Paris, c'est la vie, c'est la vie, c'est la vie. Those who fall in love agree. It's the unsolved mystery. If your big romance cannot be, you'll find someone new, Sherry. There goes Happy Joe. What a lucky guy. He just found a sweetheart, but no one's gonna cry. Though he stole her love from me. C'est la vie, c'est la vie, c'est la vie. It's the unsolved mystery. If your big romance cannot be, you'll find someone new, Sherry. There goes Happy Joe. What a lucky guy. He just found a sweetheart, but no one's gonna cry. Though he stole her love from me. C'est la vie, c'est la vie, c'est la vie. C'est la vie. C'est la vie.
C'est la vie, that's life, done by Dick Hames, and I guess it probably is, isn't it, Dick?
That's right.
You know, Chicago is still talking about your wonderful engagement here at the Shea Prairie. I wonder how soon we can look forward to having you return to the boards of the supper clubs and bistros.
Well, I'd love to be back in Chicago at the Shea. Just ask the boys to write me a note.
All right.
All I gotta do is ask me.
Have tuxedo, you will travel.
Will do.
I hope it's in this direction. Thank you very much, Dick, for being on our show. The best of luck for a good hit record, C'est la vie. And why don't you record This Land of Mine?
All right, I'll certainly make a pitch for it, and it's nice to have been aboard.
Thanks a lot, Dick.
Bye.
Now, as Dick Hames speaking to you from Alan Dick's Restaurant in New York City, and this is Howard Miller speaking for Wrigley Spearman Chewing Gum, and reminding you, as always, that there's never a more delightful, delicious treat, because it's wholesome, it's pure, and it's always good. Good for you, good to taste. We'll be seeing you tomorrow and every day this week and every week for Wrigley Spearman. Until then, the star of our show, friends, Joe Foss, speaking to his friends in Radioland. All right, Joe.
Be sure to join Howard again tomorrow at this same time when we'll all be here to meet Julie London on the CBS Radio Network.
WBBM-FM, Chicago.